You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The daf and the Masechtas Nedarim that we're analyzing yesterday and today dealt with many of the hashkafa concepts of the concept of Bris Milah. And I want to show you that, you know, the Gemara, even though it doesn't go into an arichas upon this, has major, not only hashkafa, but halakha ramification when it comes to what we do, when it comes to our practice of Bris Milah, especially when it comes to the recitation of the various brachos that are related to the mitzvah Bris Milah. As you'll see tonight, as we go through this topic, you'll understand what I mean after we finish the shir. On page number one, you have the Makaros in Pashas Lech Lecha, where Hashem introduced to Avram the mitzvah Bris Milah at his advanced age of 99. Starts Rabbi Yisai Perek, over here, Perek Yud, actually it's Perek Yud Tezvav, but the fact of the matter is, it says Vayhi on the right hand side of the page, the Avram ben Tishma Shon of Teisha Shonim. So that's where the Rabban Hashem appears to him in Nevuah, and Vayomer Lav, he says to him the following, which sets the tone. Vayomer Lav Ani Kel Shakai, which is the name of Hashem that the Ramban points out throughout, was revealed to the Yavais. And even though Kel Shakai means normally when Hashem does miracles is done within the context of Teva, his Halach Lefana Ve'ayetamim, it tells Avram, walk in front of me, and as a result, you'll achieve Tamimus. And because of that, in the Brisi, Beni Ve'enecha, there's a special covenant I'm going to make with you. For Abba Yischav, Mamal Ga'od, because of this covenant, you'll be Zeicha for a tremendous amount of progeny in the future. And the result of this nevuah, at least the opening, is Avram falls down on his face as part of his ability to receive nevuah. As the Rambam I taught you a couple of weeks ago held, every Navi but Moshe always fell on the face if they had a nevuah in order to be able to bear the nevuah. This is one of the proof sources for the Rambam's concept. And then the pasuk continues, V'nihine beris itach, that with this bris I'm going to give you now, Hashem's now going to redefine the role function of Avram in the world. He's now become the spiritual patron, the spiritual father of the entire world. I'm going to change your name from Avram. Your name is going to be upgraded to Avraham. I've made you now the spiritual mentor of the world. Now from the psukim in Pshuto Shemikra, it appears that the change of name was because of his new position. For those who learn today's Daf Yomi, if you remember in Amud Beis, the Gemara has a different take upon it. The Gemara says that once Avram was given the mitzvah Bris Milah, and he was elevated to a higher spiritual plateau, he was given shlita on five Evarim that up until now he didn't have shlita upon. And that is his two eyes, his two ears, and the Reish HaGaviyah, because the Bris Milah was able now to have the spiritual elevation and control of these organs. That's the Gemara says that Avram is Gematria 243. Avraham is Gematria 248. So now we have Shlita upon all his Evarim based upon the upgrade of the Bris Milah. So we have from the Pshuto Shemikra and the Pshuto Shemikra have a little difference in why the name was given and how it impacts. Furthermore, the Pasuk says, you're going to have malachim, nations emanating from you. Another thing connected to the concept of bris, your entitlement to Eretz Yisrael is based upon the fact you're going to undergo a Bris Milah. The Kalita of Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael requires circumcision. And that's why the Tanakh tells us in Sefer Yeshua, since Klal Yisrael did not do any Bris Milahs when they sojourn in the Midbar, and the Gemara says in Yevamos, because they didn't have the awareness how long they're going to encamp. And if people started doing Bris Milahs and all of a sudden they had to assemble the camp and start moving, you'll put people to Sakana. And also certain winds that were needed because the refuahs were not definitely guaranteed. So because of atmospheric conditions and now in travel conditions, they felt a sakana, they held off doing circumcision. So there was an entire generation of Jews who reached the Eretz Israel and they weren't gemalt. So the thing that Yeshua did is he mauled all the Jews who were not gemalt up until that point in time. The famous pile of aralos of the skins is what's mentioned in the Tanakh. He piled all the skins together. That therefore allowed the Jews, when they entered over the Yarden Eretz Yisrael, their klita was the klita b'shleimus. Over here we therefore see the connection between Bris Mila and one's entry and one's entitlement to Eretz Yisrael, a very important yesod, which I'll analyze a little bit later on when we get into this topic. Let's just go further in the psukim over here. So we therefore see, if we go now to Pasuk Tes, Vayom Elokim El Avram, Vatez Barisi Tishma, Tazrach El Avram Sam, Zos Peshia Tishma, Ben Yivin Ech, Tazrach El Echa. So what's the bris? Hima Lachem Kol Zach. Hashem lays it out. There must be every male in your household undergoing circumcision. Ulamaltim of Salasnam, Vayom Elos Bris, Ben Yivin Echem. The bris is a nose bris between us and the Rabbanu Shalom. Ben Shmodis Yom and Yima Lachem Kol Zach El Garasechem. For all future generations, when the boy is already 8 years old, that's when the circumcision is to take place. This is what we paskin. Even avadim, kananim, that are part of your household, have to have a circumcision as being part of your household. The only two mitzvahs I say with is a chiv karas for violation is Bris Mila and the concept of Karban Pesach, to show you how important this mitzvah is. This is the parasha of Rabbi Yitzhak. The Gemara says in Masechtis Nedarim that if you count the word Bris in this parasha, it's mentioned 13 times. We don't have any other mitzvah of the Torah that the mitzvah or the word of Bris is mentioned 13 times, to show you how powerful this entity is. Turn up, I send out to page number 2. And to highlight that, I'm now going to show you something in the Mishnah, 2a to b, to point out something quite interesting. When Hashem told Abraham, his halach lefanav v'heyei tamim, walk in front of me, become a tamim, the impression that Abraham got, the Gemara tells us, we'll see very shortly, is that by Hashem says, walk in front of me, do this mitzvah, and become a tamim, the impression was up until this point in time, he wasn't a tamim. But in the lashon of Torah, Rabbi Yisai, tamimus can mean two things. If I take the paradigm of tamim as it relates to the concept of karbanos or of kohanim, tamimus means a lack of mumim, a lack of blemishes. You bring a karban tamim, it's blemishless. A kohen does the avoda, he must be blemishless. So normally, tamimus means in that technical jargon, a lack of mumim, a lack of defects. But there's another word, tamim, which we have later on in Sefer Devarim, and that is tamim tiyeh mashem alokecha. That tamimus means raising yourself to a higher spiritual plateau of connectivity between yourself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tamimus means you walk to Hashem with tamimus, total dependency, total reliance, total trust. I'm not worried about anything else in this world. I put my lot in the hands of the Rabbanu Shalom. Tamim tiyeh am Hashem Elokecha is an indication of raising yourself to a higher spiritual plateau of dependency and kesher between yourself and the Rabbanu Shalom. To say it a little differently, and to give you a little the hakira in other terms, which we'll have reference to tonight, if tamimus means a lack of a mum on your body, the first pshat, so Bris Mila is a hasaras hara, taking away a negative in your person, taking away mumim. If you say the purpose of Bris Mila is to connect yourself with tamimus, that Kadosh Baruch on a higher level, that's a concept of hosafas kedusha, raising yourself to a higher spiritual plateau. So is Bris Mila a sur meira, or is it a seitev? You know, which one is it, or maybe it's both? So this is the question we're going to analyze for a couple of minutes. In the Mishnah, The Mishnah in 2a, and you'll see how this is not just some of the Musar Shmuz, this has major halakha ramifications, you'll see what I mean. It says, what is the, and when it comes to Is and Nedarim, so the question is, what is an Orel, where, who does Orel is referred to? And the Mishnah quotes very specifically indicating, Goyim are referred to as Arelim. In Europe, any well-intentioned Jew would say, they called him an Orel. That was the term used. It's a missionary term. So over here, they bring down, Bishemer Abelezer ben Azariah, this is the first wide line, Me'us Ila, Shenizganu Bara Shayim, that Arla indicates that Abayis is something that's negative, something that contaminates, something that's lacking spirituality. People who are a Shayim, which the Gemara seems to imply was Rev Goyim, are called by that name. Shinema Kikola Goyim Arelim. So we see it's a negative concept. The concept of therefore of Arelis is a negative concept. And therefore Bris Mila possibly is taking away that negativism when you do the bris. Rabbi Shmuel Omer the Gedola Mila. Shenichrusu Alea Shlosh Esrei Brises. Bris Mila is great. 13 distinct covenants were made concerning it in Pashas Lech Lecha. And since you only need one covenant, 13 means this is a super powerful mitzvah. Quite obviously, it's generating tremendous connection, tremendous asay tov in your connectivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the power of the Bris Milah itself. So you have a machlekes tanaim, therefore, is the Bris Milah taking away the negative of the mius of the Arla, the mum, making you a tamim, making you an Arla-less person? Or is the purpose of the Bris Milah to connect you through the brisos of the Kedusha of this specific mitzvah? Two different dayos. The Mishnah points out, if you want to see how powerful Bris Milah is, in contrast to other mitzvahs, Gedola Milah, that is Tercha Shabbos, Chamura. Now normally Shabbos and Aseh V'Loisa, say normally Aseh don't do it, Kabbanis maybe. But Bris Milah is unique. It's a mitzvah Sayachid, that's Tercha Shabbos, Chamura. Yeshua ben Karcha says, Gedola Milah Shalom, Nitla Moshe Tzadik Malay Shah. Moshe, because he, when it came to going into the motel before he came to Mitzrayim to deposit his sons and his wife, he did not mal Eliezer first, as the Gemara in today's daf, yesterday's daf spoke about. They took care of the Asik of the Malon first. That was looked upon as an Esrash list on the dag of a Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Malachim were attempting to kill him because of that ikuv in the Kima Mitzvah he should have done immediately. Furthermore, if you wonder how great the concept of Bris Milah is, Gedola Milah, Shedeicha Nagayim. There's an Issa Deraisa that they cut off Nagayim on your body. If there's a Nega on the Makam of the Milah, you can perform the Bris Milah and cut it off, and that shows you how powerful the Bris Milah is. And he says, the Rebbe says, Gedola Milah, Shekol HaMitzvah She'os Avram Vinu. Avram was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kodim Shenitna. The Gemara says in Masechtas Yomer, and the only mitzvah that caused him to be called the Tamim Meshalom, the Krishalayim, Ad Shemal Shenema, his Halachal Fanavahe Tamim, his Tamimus was accomplished by performing the Bris Milah, not by performing all the other Tayak mitzvahs he did Shein Mitzvah, but by doing the Bris Milah. And then one other thing, Gedola Milah Shalimalai, Lahabar Kadosh Baruch Hu Labau, without Bris Milah being brought into the world of the realm of Halachic mitzvahs, the world would not have been created. Shenemar, so we see Rabbi said these incredible hyperbolic statements when it comes to the chashivos, the importance of Bris Milah. Chazal are telling you how powerful this mitzvah is, and that it's docher. Other things are normally other mitzvahs are not docher. This shows you the power and the kedusha of this Bris Milah. Now, what I want to point out just as a ha'ara before I go deeper into the topic, if you look to page number 3, I want to point out something, just a little ha'aros, and today's, the tisdom is today's daf yomi. One Maimon Chazal, we didn't see yet, quoted about 5 lines after you see 3a, is the concept, Gedola Milah Sheshekula Keneged Kol Mitzvah Shebetorah. Api Adram Eilu Karati Itcha Bris, the pasuk says, what bris? The bris of Bris Milah, therefore, the Bris Milah Keneged Kol HaTorah Kula, very powerful concept. There are very few things we have in the Torah Keneged Kol HaTorah Kula, Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael is another example of that. So Chazal say maybe Tzitzit is because of the Gematria, but Bris Milah is part of that unique group. Furthermore, the Gemara says something quite interesting. To show you in quotation 3b, Gadata, Amihu Damarav, Bishosh Amalakadish Brachel Avram Avinu, His Halakhofan of Eight Tamim. So when he heard that Tzav and Pashas Lech Lecha, what was Avram's reaction? Achas Turada, he started to shake. And what was he worried? Shemayesh be Dvar Maguna, perhaps have a Chasaran, something negative. And that's why Hashem says, I have to rectify that tikkun, that basically have something negative. And what he then found out was, Bris Milah is not a negative, but it's a positive of Kedushas HaBris, three Brisos. This would support the Shita, that Bris Milah is a positive thing, not what he thought initially was a reaction to a negative. Furthermore, Rabbi Yisrael, if you turn out to page number 4, we come to a Maimon Chazal alluded to before when I was reading the Pesukim, and that is the change of name of Avram from Avram to Avraham. And the Gemara says, just to show with the Mara, I said about Peb, I want to show you inside, it says, Avram Ksiv, and then it was written to Avraham. Initially he had Shlita 243 of his Evarim. Lefsal Himlichli after the Bris Milah on Masayim Avraham Veshmon, it was upgraded to 248. And the reason is because quite obviously Avram is the gematria of 243. Avraham is the gematria 248. And what is the five Evarim he gave Ahisaph on? Shnei Anayim, Shnei Oznayim, V'rei Shagaviyah. So I pointed out, these are very, the Shnei Anayim are obviously very powerful for spirituality, Rachman Lutzon, for the opposite. Shnei Oznayim are very powerful for the positive, but also they could be used powerfully for the negative. Rei Shagaviyah could be used for the positive, but could surely be used for the negative. These are very sensitive organs. And therefore, when he did the Bris Milah, and he raised himself to a higher plateau, he was given the spiritual capacity to have control upon these as well. With the Siyata Deshmaya, we therefore see the power of the Bris Milah, and the name change is a result of that phenomenon. The Gemara doesn't mention because he was made Av HaMangayim. So this Gemara is different than the Pshuta Shemikra in the Chumash itself. Furthermore, what's interesting is they quote a cute narrative about the power of a number of things, but then one I want to show you is Hachachma Taz L'Chachma Yasar Shlitim, that the Chachma Tshuva Maisim Tovim are more powerful than the 10 things that control human behavior. And the 10 things, Shtei Anayim, Shtei Oznayim, Shtei Yadayim, Shtei Orglayim, Reisha Gaviyah Upeh, what's more powerful than these things in controlling you is Tshuva Maisim Tovim, Torah, so obviously that allows you to gear these Shlitim in a proper direction. These are the Mamari Chazal of yesterday and Teddy's daf that relate to our specific sugya. So the question now I want to pose in tonight's shir is, so is in fact the Bris Milah a taking away of the negative, like the Tumimis by Karbanais, or is it a Hisafis Kedusha, as is the other Psha, Tumim and Tamer Shem Elokecha? Which one is it? So the Gadol I'm going to quote to answer this question tonight is the famous Rav Yitzchak Arama, the one who wrote the Kedis Yitzchak, great Svadish Gadol, lived in the 1400s. And his approach to deal with this topic is quoted by the famous Volozhin HaRosh Yeshiva, the Beis HaLevi, in his Perish L'Chumash. And he says, quoting this Akedis Yitzchak, that the fact of the matter is, I'm going to prove to you the way we do Bris Milah. In fact, you have both phenomenon contained therein. Now, how do I know this? So I want you to turn to page number 5. Before I get to the Medrash and the Hashkafa, I want to deal with the pragmatic and the halacha, how you do a bris, and once you see how you do it and what we're basically dealing with, I'll be able to relate the Hashkafa and the theology and the philosophy to the mitzvah itself. Who's kasha to do a bris? Listen to this. Hakol ksherim lamul, even an oral, even an eved, even a katan, isha, all of them are malim. Now, but obviously, these are not the best kind of people to do it, but listen to this. However, imal, if a guy does do the bris milah, ain't usach lachzal mubul shniya. But the ever the bris is good. Now, could obviously these people don't have kavan, especially the last gentleman, that the chalais of the bris, or whatever it accomplishes, by doing the cut, they accomplish it. So, what I'm putting out from that, you see, it's not the kavana of the mail that's maila moirid, that what happens, and we'll just stop that question at that point in time, that happens, whatever happens, it happens based upon automatic cutting of the skin itself. And then the Rambam continues, u'b'chol malim, when it comes to kli, what do you have to use? So, afilu b'tzar, even a rock. The Torah tells us when Tzipora had to do the bris milah on her son, Batichrasar, she had to take a flintstone that was there, and she cut. Ubizchuchas, you can use a sharp piece of glass. The Chodav Shakaris, anything that cuts with a clean cut. But what you shouldn't use is a keremis, is a reed. Because a reed could obviously has pieces of wood that Chas v'Shalom can come off, peel off, and penetrate the organ and rend you a kush shavcha. So that you cannot use. Melehasakana. We use metal when it comes to doing the bris, and you have two options, either a sakin, which is what we call the ismal, the mila knife, or misparayim, surgical scissors that sometimes use, especially when it comes to older people, if you have to have a bris mila done, so sometimes you use a surgical scissor to do it properly. The nogol kiyos of a sakin, under normal conditions, since most children are gemalt in the eighth day, the sakin's used, and you use a double-edged sakin. Chereh b'fiyas b'yadim, they quote, from Tehillim. So whichever side of the sakin is, Rabbi Yisai, it's a double-edged. In your Amar Mekremes, now let's say a picture's worth 1,000 words, and I need a lot of time tonight to say a lot in a small period. If you look at page number 9, you have examples on top on the right hand side of the page, two types of bris milah knife. They look like butter knives. So the fact is both of these blades are basically double edged. So no matter which side you cut, Rabbi Yisai, you have a cutting edge from both directions. And therefore, quite obviously, this is what was done at that point in time. You also have little milah knives or priya knives on the bottom of the page if you want to know what that looks like. Also, in the middle diagram, the probe was a device that they used to stick between the skins of the mila and the actual physical organ to separate a little bit the skin from the organ, so you're able to grab a hold of it. You shouldn't cause the organ to be cut off in the process. And another thing which the Torah doesn't mention, which is a rabbinical invention, is we have what's called the magain. That, you know, in the good old days when Molim were brave, so they would pull the skin up, hold the skin with their hands, and then cut, you know, using their hands as the shield between the skin and the organ. But you could take off a piece of your finger also. So they decided, we're not going to do that anymore. So what they do is, with the probe, when they pick up the skin, they have a shield which has a fixed opening, and they take the skin and they pull it up between the margain. So the skin to be cut up is above the margain. The organ's below, and since the margin's very thin, you're not talking about it. Therefore means when you cut with a knife, there's no way in the face of this earth you'll ever come next to the organ to cut the organ, and you surely won't cut the male's fingers by doing this, because he's also protected over here. So the margin became a way of quality controlling it over time, and like everything in Judaism, you then decide how to make money with it. So they made it from silver and gold. It became now, you know, a piece of, you know, like a kiddush cup. You can make kiddush on a glass cup. Well, since Kiddush, mach, silver, gold, whatever it is, you know, you make it into a collector's piece. So the fact of the matter is, that's the device that's used. But the crucial fact of Rabbi Yisai is halacha beis, which is going to be the halacha we use tonight to deal with this health sugya. Keitzad mohalim. How does the milah take place? So the Rambam is an advocate of what's called the two-step approach. Chokin esa'ar ha'chayf esa'tara. There are two skins on top of the makam hamila, a thick skin called the ar ha'arla on top of the glans penis itself, and you cut off that skin first, ashtizgala kolatar, until the entire top of the organ is clear and free from that skin. The achakak, underneath that, is what's called the ar ha'priya, which is a very mucous membrane type of skin, and parinas akruam harach shalamatam in ar Bitsi parim umachsir lakan lakan achiyora b'sar tara. What was the minhag of Klal Yisrael is to use your fingernails as a moel The mole had very, very grown thumbnails, and he was able to peel away the previous skin, it's a mucous membrane, to take away the second skin underneath. Chazal point out, based upon the pasuk Kol Atzmaisu Semano, that with every one of our organs we give praise to Hashem. So the Medrash says in Tehillim, what's Kol Atzmaisai? What do you do with your fingers? You do the Maisa Priya, or you do the Maisa Malika. When the Kohen does the Malika of a knife, he uses his thumb to put it into the back. So using the thumb can be used for different mitzvahs. Kol Atzmaisu Semano, Mi Hashem Kemolcha, that every body part can do something when it comes to the mitzvah of Bris Milah. So the Ram records the meaning of doing Priya with the thumbnails to peel it away. Both skins must be removed for the Bris Milah to be done. And after you do the removal of the skins, Motzei Tzitzamila, you suck away the blood on top, that's called the Mitzvah Smetzitza. And the Pashtus is, it's done by sucking it away with your mouth. You take away all the blood that can jibba, the infected blood from the wound. If the mo refuses to do the matzitza, he loses his license to be a mo, you'll get him out of the profession. And then you do the post-operative care of putting proper bandaging on top of it to make sure the wound heals properly. They have special ointments, special stuff that they use, Bizman HaGemara, we use today Neosporin and other type of stuff to basically prevent infection. This is the way the Bris Milah is done, Rabbi Yisai, Lahalacha. And the Rabbin records that if you do in the next halacha, if someone of the skin tabs of the Arla skin are left in location, or some of the skin tabs of the Priya skin are left in location, the Bris has not been done. If I do the taking away of the Arla skin and not the Priya, Ki'ilu Lomal is that the Milah is not done. So both skins are Ma'ake when it comes to the context of the Bris Milah of a Jewish baby. That's the way we pass on Halacha Ma'aseh. Both skins have to be removed, even B'Shabbos Kedush, be marred with activity, but that, since that's Bris Milah, both have to be done. Now, what is interesting, Rabbi Yisai, is that this is the Bris that applies to Jewish children. Is there anything as a guy that has any level of circumcision? Now, in the Chumash I showed you, Avram had a mandate at the time of the Tziv and Pashas Lech Lecha to have every guy that was part of his household as an Eved HaKedemer, Gamalt. Yishmael underwent Bris Milah itself. All the Yilabes, all the people that were in his household, all the Zacharim, had to undergo Bris Milah. But the question now is there a mitzvah l'dayrais of any goyim of Yishmael or Makedemer that have a chi Bris Milah bizman hazeh? That's my question. And what I want to show you is the Gemara in Masechtes Sanhedrin and the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, which I have in the Maamar Kamos. Let me show you what I mean. Turn Rabbi Yisai quickly. In the Maamar Kamos, to page number 10. On page number 10, the Rambam paskins something based upon our sugyas in the Masechtes Nedarim. And this will, the Gemara that we learned the last day or so will come back to you. You'll see what I mean. Look at Halacha Zayin and Ches. Left hand side of the page, page 10. Hamila nitztava ba'avram izara bavad. The Bris Milah was given to Avram and his progeny, his Zera. Shenema tov izarech acharech, as the Pasuk says, Rabbi Yisai. Who is excluded? Yotzo Zara Shah Yishmael. Even though Yishmael underwent circumcision, his Zara, his children, were technically Lachayiv. Shenema ki beyitzach yikar Zara. That the actual Abrahamic covenant with Hashem was divinely transferred over with all the brachas and everything else and commitments to Yitzchak. Ki beyitzach yikar Zara. They're considered Zara Avraham. To the exclusion, quite obviously speaking, of Yishmael. The Yotza Esav. And what about Esav? Shrei Yitzchak Amal Yaakov, V'yitin l'cha as birchas Avram l'cha u'lazar'acha. When it came to before Yaakov left the household of Yitzchak to go to the house of Lavan, so what's interesting and fascinating is, despite the fact that Pashas told us you have the brachas which Yaakov chapped away from Esav with the whole kanunya over there that took place with Rivka's leadership role, despite all of the brachas that Yaakov accomplished by having that done, At the end of the parasha, before he leaves, he's told by his Tati Yitzchak, by the way, I'm telling you now that all the brachas that were given to Avraham, all the promises in the Bris Bein HaBesarim, you are the one who are Yerush that. Which means, what Esav and Yaakov were fighting about in the middle of the parasha had nothing to do with the brachas of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, the Haftachas made to Avraham. It was basically talking about the Gashmias, the materialism, or who's going to have Hatzlach in this world when it comes to dealing with that Shefa Baracha. But when it comes to the spiritual legacy of the Bris Bein HaBesarim and the Minuyim and the mandates given to Avraham, that the Gzeres HaKasev is. Avraham gave it to Yitzchak, Yishmael's excluded. Over here, Yitzchak's telling Yaakov, by the way, you are the one who's designated to be the Malei Malkam after me and Avraham to continue that tradition of those brachos, which means Esav is not part of that cheshbim. What's interesting in our Gemara is the Gemara brings another Medrash Chazal. It says Be Yitzchak, v'lo b'kol Yitzchak. Our Gemara had in the Darim another drush in Yitzchak, but not all of Yitzchak. Which Yitzchak was excluded? The Esav part. Which part of Yitzchak was included in the bris? The Yaakov part. But the Rami, if you notice, doesn't take that Medrash Chazal. He has another Medrash Chazal, and that is the specific statement that he says to Yaakov before he leaves. V'yitun lecha brichs av lecha zarecha mechlal shu uvada zeresh shel Avraham ha-machzik bedasai u'bedacha ha-yishara ve-heim ha-mechuyavim b'milah. Now what's interesting, Rabbi Yisai, is that the only thing you see from this Rambam is that Yishmael's progeny is not Chayiv, Esav's progeny is not Chayiv. Was Yishmael Gemalt? The Pasha says he was. Torah. Was Esav Gemalt? Now it's interesting, there's no place we find that says he was, but there's no place that says that he wasn't. And the fact of the matter is, the only ones who are excluded really, if you think from the Bris, are the progeny of Esav, the progeny of Yishmael. So we had a big debate by Rami Daf Yomi whether in fact Esav was Gemalt or not. There's a Medrash Chazal that claims when Yaakov was born, he was born Namul. So the question is, was his twin brother also born Namul? So it's a question. There's no definitive answer. There are some who claim that, but once again, I haven't seen the Medrash saying this explicitly, but they quote this such a Medrash. But I hear Medrashim quoted without source, I get very suspicious, because I know certain people who make up Medrashim on the spot. There were certain Darshanim and the Rabbanim in Brooklyn, Borough Park, that they used to have Kvaldik and Medrashim. And people, wow, what a Medrash, how'd you find it? Later on they found out, he made it up on the spot, you know, so you can do whatever you want. But the fact of the matter is, they quote a Medrash, somebody quoted to me in the Shir today, that when Esav was born, he had a very ruddy complexion. So supposedly, what they heard, a Medrash, that he thought, his father thought he had hemophilia, and that when you have there for hemophilia, you're basically put up from Bismillah because of Sakon, he might bleed to death. So therefore, he didn't mal him initially. Later on, by the time he was 13 and he saw he's okay, he wanted a mal Esav. Esav said thank you with a no thank you. But I haven't found the Medrash saying that explicitly. They quote others that Rabban Osson, but Rabban Osson doesn't talk about that. So the fact of the matter is, it's something to think about, but it's irrelevant. Because the fact of the matter, what the Rambam is saying is, the progeny of Yishmael, the progeny of Esav, don't have a chiv. They might have undone Mila because they're part of the household of Avram, Yitzchak, etc. But the progeny is what we're crucially concerned about. But now we come to the clincher. Listen to this. Omru Chachamim, Shebnei Ketura, Sheb Zara Shel Avraham, Sheba Achi Yishmael V'Yitzchak, Hayavam Mila. Now we know that Keturah was a wife of Avram. We don't know whether she's basically Hagar in a new persona or a third wife. But the Rambam says, is the Kabbalah, and I'll show you, he gets the Kabbalah from, that the children he had with this Keturah, called the Bnei Keturah, are Chayiv B'Mila. And if that's the case, the Bnei Keturah, whether it's Hagar in a different persona or another Arab woman who was the third wife, who was like an Arab, basically speaking, like Hagar was, her kids are Chayiv in Bris Mila, but we got one problem. How do you know which bloodline are the Arabs coming from Yishmael, or which Arabs are the bloodline coming from the Bnei Keturah? The Zel B'Tata Zehob. So that DNA from the Tata is going to be identical. The question is, and if Hagar was the same person as Keturah, you surely don't have way. It's the matrilineal who the mommy is. So he's saying is, the Bnei Yishmael
are not chayv on a deraisa level. The Bnei Keturah are chayv on a deraisa level. You prove which arah comes from which household. So for deraisa lechumra, there is a 3-page Mishnah Melech in the Rambam. For those who are interested to go in depth into this, and you want to be medayik in it, you can read the 3-page Mishnah Melech of Shabbos. But that's the psak that's given. But I want to tell you something. That is the psak of the Shitas HaRama. Before I entertain questions, I want to show you the Gemara. Turn to page number 11. On page number 11, where did the Rambam get this from? I mean, what do you see? B'nei Keturah chayiv in a pasuk in the Torah in Bris Milah the Dairas. See, if we look on page number 11, the Gemara talks about whether Bris Milah applies to B'nei Noach or only B'nei Avram and Klal Yisrael. So it says in quotation 11a, Mila mi ikir harilara the Avram who dekama mahazalor rachmana. When it came to Bris Milah, it was never given to Bnei Noach in general. It was given to Avram and his progeny, where it says, "Atov brisi tishmar, atov zaracha acharecha ledarasam, atov zaracha in inish achminalo." So the Gemara says, if that shows you Avram and his progeny chayiv, elamiata Bnei Yishmael lachayvu. Why not Bnei Yishmael? Ki beyitzchak yilecha zera. Okay, so we got Yishmael filtered out based upon Gzeres HaKasef. But now we come to Yitzchak. Yitzchak had two sons, Yaakov and Esav. Bnei Esav l'chayva. B'Yitzchak v'lo kol Yitzchak. This is the other Medrash Chazal I mentioned before. The Beis means only part of Yitzchak has the Chiyuv, the other part doesn't. So who? It says Bnei Esav l'chayva. If you notice, Bnei Esav, it doesn't talk about Esav. The Mashmoah says Esav was circumcised. The question is the bottom of Esav is the question. But not Esav himself. That's the Dava Pashat. He was Mechuyev. So therefore, they bring the Gzeres HaKasev to eliminate even Bnei Esav and the Bristol of Dairos. So Fek the Gemara Kasha, listen to this. Now we're going to come to the reason I'm showing you this. Maskrav Aisha Elamiyata Bnei Keturah Lo Lechayvo. So why in the world are Bnei Keturah Chayiv? And it seems the Gemara had a Kabbalah, Bnei Keturah Chayiv, why are they Chayiv according to this? Rav Yosi Ba'avin, he's saying Rav Yosi Ba'chanina, as Brisei Heifar, L'Rabbeis, as Bnei Keturah. That is special because of another Pasuk, that if how you made for the Bris, if you don't mal the Bnei Keturah, you're basically being made for the Bris of Hashem with Avram and his progeny. Now, the Rambam interpreted this to mean not only the Bnei Keturah, the 6 sons that were born to Avram by Keturah in the Midbar at that point in time, but all their children at Seif Kol HaDairos have a Chiv, and that's the Rambam I showed you inside. But what I want to show you is the Rashi doesn't hold that way. If you look in Rashi, Rabbi Isai, on quotation B, on the left-hand side of the page on the Gemara, so on the Lashin, Bnei Keturah, Os and Shisha Shenodal Avram Hein Atzman Lo Lechayvu V'nei Mahashto Lo Yibol Avram Kol B'nei Osho Hiyo Lo La Rabbis B'nei Keturah Os and Shisha Levadam V'lo Zaram Ava Avram Itztavu L'chal Nodam Lo, which means to say, according to Shitas Rashi, only the 6 B'nei Keturah underwent Bris Milah, but not the future progeny. So it ends up, Rabbi, say, if you really want, you know, there's a misconception in Torah society that the Arabs are chayiv in Bris Milah. You ask anybody, of course they're chayiv in Bris Milah. But there's a big major problem. According to Shitas HaRambam, which I showed you, and he's the only he held, it depends upon which part of the Arab world. The Bnei Keturah, yes. The Bnei Yishmael, no. But since we can't identify Safek Daraisa, Yimal, all of them. The Shitas HaRashi is, no Arab today is chayiv in Bris Milah. Neither Bnei Yishmael, and even Keturah is only B'Yisa's man, not later generations. So according to Rashi's opinion, no Arab is Chayiv. So therefore, what people think is the Dava Pasha, the Chayiv, is not the case. But now I want to reveal something else to you. We're playing the devil's advocate. Even if we assume the thesis of the Rambam, and many Paschim hold that way, that we assume the Rambam is correct, that's why the Mishnah Berurah wrote 3 pages on the Rambam, and that Arabs study Chayiv and Bris Milah. So now the question is, what type of Bris Milah are they chayiv? Are they chayiv in the same exact Bris Milah as we are chayiv when it comes to Klal Yisrael? This becomes a very interesting course of lever. Why? Because the Gemara Masechtas Yevamah seems to imply that even when it came to Avraham, his bris milah involved one of the two stages. Now, what are the two stages? Stage number one is the removal of the arla skin, the outer skin. Stage number two, the removal of the priya, the underlying priya skin underneath this. Was Avram, when he did it, mitzuv and pashal lech lecha, chayiv to do both? Or chayiv only to do the first part? And only later on in Harsina, when Hashem reiterated the concept of bris milah, that's when Klal Yisrael, because they were now given Kedusha Yisrael, were told, you got to do part two as well. And in fact, some want to say, the Lashon of the Torah, where it says, Esakle behe yitamim, ve'et nebrisi. Now you're going to be a tamim by doing the Hasaras Arla. Ve'et brisi, in the future, by Maimed HaSinai, you'll have the second stage, the Arla skin being removed as well. One day in Masechta Yevamos interprets the pasuk that way. Now, if you assume that assumption, if Bishas Avram, even though he was only Mitzuva in taking away the Arha Arla and not Darpriya, then one thing is for sure, all the milas of all the B'nai Beisa that were done at that time were only the removing of the Arla skin, Yishmael and B'nai Keturah. And if you claim B'nai Keturah were given a tzav, what you're doing then is Lederos. If that's the case, the only skin you have to remove, even for B'nai Keturah or Safik Yishmaelim, is the outer skin, the Arla, not the removal of the Priya skin underneath. And Halach Lamasa, that is the assumption accepted by Poskim as the halachic reality. So you'll say to me, so if that's the case, Lamai Nafkamina, when it comes to the ultimate quality of the bris, is there a halachic ramification? And that's what I want to show you tonight. With it to be Mazba the Mishnah, Masechta Zedom, you learned in Yodaf Yomi, but to now to see from a different perspective. I quoted before the Chakir in the beginning of tonight's shiur. Is the purpose of Bris Milah to take away a blemish in a mum, to make a person a tamim, to mimus by kabanos? Or is the purpose of Bris Milah, Hisafis Kedusha, to raise you to a high level spiritual connection to the Rabbeinu Shalom? Is it a Sur Meira or Beisei Teif? Comes along Rav Yitzchak Aramani says, in his humble opinion, even though the two different Tanayim in the Mishnah, he feels this is a classical example of Eilu ve'Eilu Divrei L'Kim Chayim, and therefore he says the following. I'm quoting now the Kedis Yitzchak, the way it's brought down by the Beis Halevi in the interpretation of this sugya. He says, when you take away the Arla skin, which is Mamish the Arla, Adava Ma'us, the Mishnah calls it, that is taking away the negative, because as long as that skin's on your body, you have a mum, you have a defect. It's a defect. Taking the arla skin is therefore the sumera, taking away the defect. Now, when it comes to the priya skin, what does that do? So there he says, that's the hisafas kedusha, raises you to a higher spiritual plateau. One of the rayas that the Kesis uses to prove his thesis, and later on, the Beis Halevi likes his raya, is seen in the bracha we recite upon the completion of the two acts of milah at a bris. Let me show you what I mean. Turn right by your side to page number 12 and 13 of the Ma'ir Mekaymais. Bris milah is quite interesting. You make two brachas upon it. Many poskim hold both brachas of birchas hamitzvah. One's the bracha you make of Al, with Sivano Al Hamila, which is the top bracha on the left hand side of the page, on page number 12. Underneath that, you have the bracha Lachnizva Shul Avram Vino, which many Paschim held is the second Birchas HaMitzvah you make on the mitzvah Bris Milah. The only other mitzvah that you know of you make two brachas upon is Tfilin, each and every day, for those who claim you make two brachas, Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. But the fact of the matter is, Halach Lamasa here, most everybody makes two brachas. So what's fascinating is that after these brachas are done and the cutting of the skins are done, look at page number 13. If the both brachas are made and the cutting of the skins are completed and all the bandaging, you take a cup of yayin and you mechabe the person, mavarecha brachas, they call them, the mavarecha brachas. Look at the nusach over here. Baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam asher kidash yedid mi beten. He placed this into his body, his skin, this chok of cutting this away. His progeny, he gave the chasima of an ois bris kodesh. What is that portraying the bris milah to be? An ois bris kodesh, a sanctified makip apatish. The chosa means the completion of the bris. What's the completion of the bris? Take away the arhapriya is called the chosim bris kodesh. So that shows you it's hisafis hakadusha. So therefore, comes along the Beis Levi quoting this Akedas Yitzchak. He therefore says that when you do the taking away of the arla skin, that bracha goes upon the hisaras hamum, muusi arla, the Mishnah Masechet Nedarim. The concept of therefore the pri of the isbris kodesh, the chasimas hakodesh, that represents the yugam of brisos, showing you the kedusha level of this specific mitzvah, how powerful it is. So in actuality, every Jewish bris has both combinations, the hasara samum, the arla, the davar mos, the hisafis kedusha by the yud gimel brises. Every Jewish bris has this. By a guy who is a ben keturah, or safik shma ben keturah, conchitas harambam, they only have taking away the arla skin, they never have taking away the Prius. Even if you took away the Prius skin, since they were not mitzuva, it's like you're cutting out a piece of flesh, and then gunish me gunish. So therefore, by them, the bris is only a hasara of the miuskait, but it's not in its conscious of a new entity, of being given a kedushin a higher level. So it's a sur meira, not an asay tov. So why am I saying this? The quality, therefore, of a Jewish bris and what it accomplishes is totally different than what a bris of a benoch, even if you mitzvah the bris milah, is able to accomplish. Now why is this important? So one importance is now to understand the Mishnah. If you make a neder against, quite obviously, a goyim who are gemalt, and you say you make a neder quite obviously against those who quite obviously are areilim, so the fact is, why in fact are they areilim had a bris milah? The Torah says since their bris milah was not complete like ours, vis-a-vis the actual halacha, they still consider areilim, because if a Jew had the arla taken away without the priyah skin, you're still an arla. So the lashon of the maimer of the chazal and that mishnah is predicated on the full postulation of the halacha as it relates to Jews. And since you need arla and priya to be removed, to take you out of that segment of halachic existence, making an edda against an aval, even a circumcised non-Jew is considered an aral in the bigger picture. So that's, now you understand where that part of the Mishnah comes from. Now, what I want to quote you to now is the Rush. The Rush says, in his humble opinion, that going back to the brachas on page number 12, so he says that in his humble opinion, halach lamasa, both of these brachas that we make, he looks upon them as two definitive birchas hamitzvahs on the mitzvah bris milah. Unlike those who want to say alamila is the birchas hamitzvah and the bracha of lachnis is the birchas sheva v'haydaya. In fact, there was a big question when you make that second bracha. There are some shitas who hold you make the bracha lachnis so after the bris is done sheva v'haydaya, only birchas hamitzvah has to be over lasi yasan. A birchas haydaya can be done afterwards. But the Rush said, no, the Rush says, in his humble opinion, this is the Rush Masechta Shabbos, that both are birchas hamitzvahs. So both are birchas hamitzvahs. So when do you make the brachas, the birchas hamitzvahs? And our minhag, where you don't have the mo being the father, so you have two different people making these brachas, so the mo makes it before he cuts off the arla skin, and the father makes lachnisa right afterwards. So zok the Rush, the following yisod. What's the bracha of the arla? Avamila. What's the bracha of the other one? Lachnisa berbrishul shavim, which is the hisaf is bris kedush of Avram. She says, if that's the case, try to orchestrate that before you cut away the arla skin, you make the bracha alamila. The mo'el should allow the father to recite the lachnisa before he cuts away the priya skin. It should also be oiva lasayasan, that each birch zamitzah corresponding to the part of the bris that corresponds to the pula being done at that point in time. And the Rush brings down, this is what you should try to do. So if you do it in sequential order, like the Shitas HaRambam, and Mo'olim know this, and you're able to, okay, sometimes you accomplish that. If you have very quick Mo'olim, sometimes you don't accomplish it. There was a minig, you should know, not the Rambam's minig, but the Rach quotes down the minig in Baghdad. When you start Jews living in Iraq, forget about it, but the minhag in Baghdad was, in the Halakha Baghdad with the Goyim, is they didn't do the bris milah as a two-step process. What the Mo'el did is he used the probe to take both skins and grab both simultaneously and to cut them bebas achas. So this option of the rush is not a possibility if two people are making the bracha, but according to the Rambam's opinion, the way we usually do it, could obviously it is an option. So we therefore see Rabbi's side that the fact of the matter is, according to the rush, there are two birchas mitzvahs, each corresponding to a different part, conceptually, practically, of this bris milah, and therefore this explains Rabbi's side why there's such a hakpada to do it in sequence, which is our meaning, most people do it that way, and what you're trying to do when it comes to the ovel asiyasa. Now,
but the ovel asiyasa can also be accomplished while the process of the milah is going on.
Yeah, but the question is, but the fact of the matter is, how long does it take to peel away the Priya skin? I mean, it depends, especially the good Ma'ilim out there, so, but the fact, even with the probing, if they do it that way, if
most do,
I mean,
90%.
I'm saying, so if they do it that,
the city should do it upstairs.
Yeah,
and the other
day,
yeah,
100%. They do it.
The ones who are Perea,
yeah,
the ones that leave a little bit or less
kid. Yeah, and they
took.
Yeah. So you mean that should be, you know, according to the post game, if you want to follow Shita Zarambam, that's what you really should do, you know, because the other part. Is they're probably going to cut away the opening of the Prius skin, what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. Back to this. So we therefore see Rabbi Yisai from this specific Makaros exactly what's going on, what's taking place. Now the quality difference when it comes to the Jewish bris and an Arab bris has another ramification. And this ramification is mentioned by Mukubalim, by the Zohar, and later on by the Shlach HaKodesh. He points out, when we read the Pesukim in Parshas Lech Lecha, one of the promises given to us as a result of the bris was the concept of Yerushas Eretz Yisrael. It's part of the narrative over here. The bris is going to give you Yerushas Eretz Yisrael. So the Mekubalim point out, to be a Yerush of Eretz on some level, you have to be a Gamalt, you have to be Namul. The only people on the face of this earth that have a mitzvah bris milah applying on a deraisa level is Klal Yisrael. And according to the Shitas HaRambam, at least certain segments of the Arab world, whoever they are, are chayiv in the mitzvah. If that's the case, the halachic klita and connection to Eretz Yisrael, the spiritual connection and other entitlements are only entitled to people who have a halachic status of being gemalt on some deraisa level. So the Zohar says the only reason the Yishmaelim had during Klal Yisrael's galus, even some possibility more than any other nation on the face of this earth, to have some type of klita to Eretz Yisrael was because of their gemalt, their bris milah status. Yeah, because the priya, even if he tried it, it would have no halachic significance. So the fact of the matter is, so therefore they call that the Arab is a klita kalusha, a weak klita. Ours, which is a full fledged bris milah, is called the klita chazaka, a full fledged klita on a real dramatic dynamic level. So because of this reason, the Mukubalim point out, since the Arab has a klita kalusha, at the end of time Hashem will detach them from Eretz Yisrael and send them to the four corners of this earth, or send them down where Korach went. But the fact is, they're going to be detached from the land of Zayis at the end of Eira as the ultimate end of day scenario, because what they did, and the Zohar says the Rabbeinu Shem bemoans this, I gave Yeshua, I gave Keturah, I gave a mitzvah, and what they did is they used it for their benefit, to the point that they're precluding the ultimate Yerushim of Eretz, so the ability to settle it, because we just want to come here, they're preventing every way possible for their Kalita Gemurah to take place. Hashem says in the Zohar, I bemoan the fact I even gave them the mitzvah momentarily, look what they're doing with it, to use it negatively to oppose my divine plan. So we therefore see, Rabbi Yisai, that the concept of connection, why the Romans, why the Turks, why anybody who wanted to be Kavish Eretz over the centuries never had a Kalita there, according to these Makaras, is because they never had a Bris Milah to allow that metaphysical connection to land on some level for it to have any fruition on any specific level. The Arab world does because of the Shitas HaRambam, therefore that explains certain things that kochos they have, where the rest of Ummas do not have those kochos. Now, what I want to show you to now, right, Rabbi, so what time is it now? It's almost 9:15. Is we therefore see from all of this that the innocent brachas we make and the whole procedures we make are quite interesting and fascinating, What I wanted to show you on page number 7, we'll end off with this, is the Rambam Amar Nevuchim. I mean, how can you go through a shiur like this without saying one Rambam Amar Nevuchim? But I'm not doing it to make you confused. I'm trying to take away the confusion. So the Rambam, interesting enough, when it came to the question whether the Bris Milah is a taking away of an imperfection or it's a Sofes HaKadusha, the Rambam Amar Nevuchim in 7a, b, c, d, e, f, g, h, deals with this problem. And his basic contention is, how could the Rabbeinu Shalom, if he created the world, Hatzur Tam and Palo, how can you say if he creates with perfection, he created the world with physical physique with imperfection, and we're perfecting the Bria? Does that make sense? So for this reason, he says, the purpose of Bris Milah is Tikkun Hamidos, Tikkun of the spirituality, the Ruchnius. It's not physically correcting a physical blemish of the body. That's his specific Shita. What I want you to know is that the Sefer HaChinuch on page number 8 disagrees, and the Sefer HaChinuch says that on the contrary, with Rabbeinu Shalom on page number 8, where you see the asterisk over here on the bottom, I don't know if you have the asterisk right over here, this little column, he says, why is it that the Rabbeinu Shalom created us with a physical blemish in the body to teach us that the Tashlim Tzuras HaGuf, our physical finality of our body, should be done by human endeavors? You shouldn't be created with perfection, your body. Shem wanted us to be shukum masabracious, we shall perfect it. Shalei shlama de adam, labarish shalom ibetan. It's totally opposite of Shita Sarambam. Lirmos, kashatashlam tsuras gufay de ado, can be yodo lahashlam tsuras nafsha behekshu pulasa. When it comes to human activities, you're not ordained from the very beginning to be damned, to be good, or to be bad. Which means, what you do with your life, positive is totally b'chiris chavshis. The same way our physicality, Hashem created b'davka with a chesaron, for you to take it away to complete it. So he's working with the assumption, doing the actual physical bris is taking away chesaron, you'll be mashal in the guf. If you could be mashal in the guf, you could also direct be mashal in the neshama and your spirituality. It's totally under our b'chiris chavshis. That's the symbolism of bris milah. And therefore, that's what we're accomplishing. So we see that this question, whether it's a sur mirah, take away the negative, zogdusha, machlok, zerah, mechinuch, and other rishonim, it's played out.
You have been listening to a presentation of benstorah.com.